I want to say this to my neighbor.
Covers it up nicely.
I walked out to get some papers.
Exceptional privilege to be able to introduce Dr. Lamb. Particularly warm is our sense of gratitude for the kind of personal commitment that he's made to this convention, to literally to share himself with us and to be with us on a long and truly personal basis. I'd just like to mention that following this session, following the formal learning, which we'll speak of in just a moment, I hope he's not too exhausted, Dr. Lamb, and instead of appointing people as individuals, I would ask particularly the senior colleagues who are here, are going to be available. They're going to be nokach just right around this area and in the lobby. To be available one-to-one to play the role, which is perhaps the highest calling, to be a shepherd's shepherd. Available in particular to the younger chaverim. Just to talk about whatever it is that they would like to have a das on. Rabbinate, in a sense, is an ageless profession since you can begin at 24 or 25 and have elderly people relate to you as a father figure, perhaps except for medicine, unique among the professions. And yet, when you're 25 or 30 or 35, in your inner heart, you're really not ready to be the father of the world. Sometimes you feel that you'd also like to be someone's child. And to have more experienced shepherds prepared to allow you to be that is one of the greatest balms of the spirit of a rabbi. And some of us, I would say all of us, sometimes need to be someone's child or someone's brother, or someone's friend, in addition to being the father of the world. And that's really what we are supposed to be to one another. Dr. Lamb, in years that I've watched him from afar to earth, many more than even he knows about, has played all of the roles that love plays. There is perhaps none in which he seems to have more pleasure than that of a real teacher of Torah, someone who drew things out of his students and shared with them. And so I hope that in this format, where instead of presenting him with an audience who will listen politely as he shares a polished gem, presenting him instead with Talmidim who will grapple alongside with him for understanding, I hope that we are giving him a forum of the very greatest comfort, a forum which will carry the message that in many ways he is the rabbi's rabbi, he is our rabbi, the teacher's teacher, and this gesture of intimacy is meant to carry a message of loyalty and of great, great affection. So we're grateful, Rabbi Lamb, for your sharing with us.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rosenblatt, but I must take exception to one of the roles you've assigned to me. I can hardly be a shepherd, certainly not a shepherd's shepherd, when I'm a mere lamb. You all have your sheets beginning with the top one is the Kutei Yamarim. Before we start on the text, let me begin a word or two about the history of how I came about this, and then some introductions, halachic introductions, what is basically a hashkafa problem. When I was asked by Rabbi Rosenblatt to teach instead of speaking, I thought that, in my mind, the great problem that faces the world Jewish community today, I said to myself, is the peace process. But to my mind, that was the second most important problem. Because that problem will be solved one way or another, and with God's help, we will survive. My real concern was the other problem, the emerging Kulturkampf, the battle between the Jewish Jews and the Israeli Jews, or the Jews and the Israelis in Israel and the Chutz La'aretz. I think I thought that was going to be the tzvach aroch, in the long run, going to be the more serious problem. Since last Saturday night, the problems have merged. And as a result of this dreadful, dreadful, horrible event, I've got the uncomfortable feeling that the Kulturkampf is upon us. Only a few incidents that have happened, not only that I've heard from Israel, that have happened to me, have indicated that the battle is a pitched battle, and we are starting with many handicaps. So it's important now to speak about our relations to the rest of world Jewry, speaking as Orthodox Jews, and seeing what we can get from our texts. Let me just say in the beginning that if you're speaking about how we as B'nai Torah should relate to the non-Orthodox community, there are certain halachic parameters. And one of them is a mitzvah of Hecheach Tochiach Esam Yisecha. It's a problem I took up in one of my works, and I want to give you a brief digest about it. The question is, you know, Hecheach Tochiach Esam Yisecha is if you have a makabel. If I want to reproach you for doing an avera, I have to be sure that you're going to listen to me. Because merely to shout at you or even to make nice is going to be meaningless if I know for sure that it's not going to help. Or maybe not. So, in the Rishonim, we find the following. Rishonim based on the Gemara in Erech and the Gemara in Yuma. That if you are doubtful if your tochacha will have effect, then everyone agrees you're chayav l'mochiach. You've got to be mochiach. How you are mochiach is a separate story. I mean, it has to be done like a mensch. It can't be, you know, the Gemara says, Hocheach, Hocheach, Atula, Elech, Piyomim. So the Sorah Solanta said, that means you have to give only one tochacha, but break it down to 1,000 little bits. But that's a separate story. The question now is fundamentally, are you chayav to be mechiyav or not? So if you have a doubt, if you know that you're going to help, you must be mechiyav. If you have a doubt, you also must be mechiyav. What happens if you know in your heart of hearts that no matter what you say, no matter how hard you try, you're going to be a failure? Are you chayav to be mechiyav or are you not chayav to be mechiyav? And that's what Machlokas has shown us. That the aim, the smug, hold that no matter what, you are chayav lochiyach. Even if you know for sure that your efforts will end up as disasters, and they will have no effect upon the muchach, nevertheless, you are chayav to be mochiyach. The Me'iri and the Moshe Mikusi, the Tzar Mikusi say, you're not chayav. If you know that it's not going to help, then don't say anything. And the Me'iri even adds, interestingly, the expression, Muzhor hu shelo lahashlich peninov lefona bolefneim. Don't cast your pearls before him. Don't take your best efforts and waste it when you know it's going to be wasted. Now, what is machlokes? What is the nature of this machlokes? How would you explain? How would you be mazbel machlokes between the aim and the smag who say the chayav lochiyach? And the Me'iri and the Sami Kusi who say that he should not be mechiyach. I believe that the difference is in the way they formulate or understand the whole halacha, the whole mitzvah of Sechacha. Is the reason for my being mechiyach you, I should be more polite, you're being mechiyach me, is it more because if you're mechiyach, you will accomplish something objectively? There will be a tikkun ha'olam, or a tikkun ha'chevra, or a tikkun ha'zulas, because you will accomplish something. Or is the reason for tochacha tikkun ha'nefesh, because you have to do what you have to do. So the problem really is this a relationship that has to be established for the purpose of helping someone else? Or is it a duty that you have to perform for yourself? It's similar to the problem in ethical philosophy between the utilitarians and the deontologists. The utilitarians say that you have to do the ethical thing because you have to, it has utility. You're going to improve somebody, you help somebody. The deontologists say, no, even if you're not going to help anyone, for instance, you gave a promise to a friend that on his yard side, you're going to drink a whole bottle of schnapps, whatever it may be. Now, if you're not going to do it, no one's going to get hurt. If you're going to do it, no one's going to get helped. But the answer is irrelevant, because your own neshama has to be helped. So if you say that the tikkun ha'olam is important, that it's to help society, utilitarian, then if you know that it's not going to help, you're potter melochiyach. But if you say that the reason for teichacha is because your neshama is at stake, to see an avla, to see something that's wrong without protesting, is wrong, therefore you must do it. If that is the case of the tikkun ha'nefesh, then even if you know for sure that it's not going to help, chayav lahochiyah. So, I'm not going to draw all the practical consequences from my dear chaverim, because you are as aware and as able to do it as I am, so there's no, but you can understand what the question is. If we find ourselves in a society where if we're mochiach, all we're going to do is get blasted in the papers by the journalists for being Neanderthals or for being arrogant because we dare to suggest to somebody else that that keeping Shabbos is a good thing, then it depends. According to the Me'iri, according to the smag, say your thing, say your piece anyway. And according to the Me'iri, keep quiet. Don't cast your pearls before the those who refuse to accept. The Chazon Ish, in a well known piece as Chelek Yeredeya, says that the din of sinas v'shor. I mean, you know, there's a mitzvah v'hatoleicha kamocha. There's also a mitzvah to be sonei esarasha, to sonei Hashem. The din of sonei of sinas v'shoim, especially as the Hagoras Maimonides formulates it, is not noheg unless there was terchacha. If there is no terchacha, there is no din, there is no mitzvah, this no esarashan. Now, the question is there today a mitzvah of sinat rishan? Is there today a mitzvah of haichayat tachia? Forgetting about the machlokas I just told you, which remains in its place. But the Gemara in Erechim, I think it's Daf Zion, Daf Yud Zion, thereabouts, has different shittas of Tanoim. It's a very difficult piece of Gemara, not conceptually, but because it gears there, and Erechim is always so dreadful that you have all kinds of different stories there in the Nosei Kalim of the Gemara. But there are three shittas or four shittas. One of them says that today there's no terchacha because ain't bishir day alahufiya. Another one says there's no terchacha because there's no one who can be mekabel terchacha. We neither know how to preach nor we have to listen. Unfortunately, with the Rabbanim, sometimes it's true. They don't know how to preach, they don't know how to listen to anyone else preaching. But this is more than preaching, this is terchacha. So, therefore, according to many, many shittas tanaim, most shittas tanaim, there's no mitzvah terchacha. The one exception is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who maintains that the mitzvah terchacha still exists, and he even prided himself that he was mochiach Rabbi Akiva by telling his Rebbe about it. I mean, it's an interesting story. When it comes to the Rishonim, almost all paskin, like the other Tanoim, that there is no terchacha today. The Rambam is the sole exception. The Rambam passes that the mitzvah of chayach mochiach is shayach today. He passes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So the previous machlokes on whether hechayach tachiyach is shayach, you know, certainly it's not going to take effect, is only according to the Rambam insofar as practical application today is concerned. Now, if you say that the din of sinas rishoyim holds only lifnei tachacha, before there was tachacha, or whether in the absence of tachacha, in other words, it does not apply when there is no tachacha, then in that case, if you hold there is no tachacha today, which is most rishonim, then the din of sinas rishoyim no longer applies. So it is purely a theoretical construct and does not apply. Has no relevance to today. Therefore, the mitzvah of sinas rishoyim is gone. And the Chazon Ish, I mean, in our times, Chazon Ish quotes two significant kadmonim, the Mari Mulln or Molan, and the Marami Lublin, who say for that, and therefore, since the din of sinas rishoyim doesn't apply, what does apply? The mitzvah ahavas rishoyim. Because then they go back into the Gedda, they have to lay kamocha. Because they're no longer the din of sinas rishoyim, so therefore you have to have a law of ahavas rishoyim. And that's because why? Because everyone today is the Gedda, he's a muchzak, that is ena muchach. He had no tachacha because of any shia day of alchia. The halacha no longer applies. So that has halachic ramifications. One of the most important halachic ramifications is, according to the Shitas Raga'onim, that a mumma is not zokei kli yivam. In other words, if a brother died and the remaining childless and the remaining brother is a mumma, the halacha is that he is not zokei kli yivam. The widow doesn't have to have chalitza or yivam. But that would apply only if we regard a mumma as a rasha gama. But today we do not regard him as a rasha gama because there's no terchacha. And therefore, even if it comes out to be a chumra. And therefore, even if the yavam is a rasha, nevertheless, he has to have chalitza. So, this is introductory insofar as the mitzvah halchei tachiyach and how it applies to us today. Putting it in the contemporary context, it would mean that halchei tachiyach, according to most Rishonim, no longer applies. Even according to the Rambam, that it does apply, it would apply only in such a case where you think you have a chance, at least a fighting chance, that your words will be accepted. But for most of them, it does not apply. The result is that not only do you not have a right to hate the non-religious Jew, no matter how bad he is, but you have a mitzvah to love him. I've always maintained that the Hapa Rabbeinu Kamocha, Masha, love thy neighbor as yourself, is a very difficult mitzvah if you knew my neighbor. I mean, not everyone is lovable. And the main mitzvah is to love those who are unlovable. Because to love those who are lovable is no great chachma. It's a natural law. You don't have to have a mitzvah for that. Let's now go to the understanding of what Avas Reyim really means. And the first passage we'll take will be from the Baal HaTanya, the Sutei Amorim, the very famous Perek Lamed Beis. And as the Lubavitcher always points out, Perek Lamed Beis was meant to be Hakolecha Kamocha because it spells lazy. So here we have the metaphysical, mystical rationale for Avas Yisrael. So, we'll go through it quickly. The Tanya bases his explanation of Avihat L'Reicha Kamocha on the Guf and Neshama axis, which, you know, is typical for Hasidus, which in turn got it from Lurianic Kabbalah, in turn got it from Kabbalah in general, that the Guf and the Neshama are a seesaw. When one is up, the other is down. It's a somewhat ascetic attitude, but we don't want to go into that now as to whether this is universal or not. Let's just accept it for what it is. So the Tanya says, Since the body is rejected, it's detested, and in a sense, the needs of the body is merely corporeal, and the soul, the joy of the soul is so elevated. Therefore, he says, L'chein nikru kol Yisrael achim mamash mitzah shoresh nafsham b'ashem echod. He says that we have a spiritual and a material side to us. From the material point of view, we are all separate. Each one of us is a different bundle of nerves and muscles and tendons, and therefore outlooks. Whereas, from the point of view of the neshama, we all derive from a single neshama. From the point of view of the spirit and the soul, we are as one. And therefore, the more we look askance upon the body, and the more we respect and reveal the spirit, the more we can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And L'chein Ha'osim, this incidentally was not invented by the Baal HaTanya. Let me read to you a precursor of the Baal HaTanya. A great, you know, the Baal HaTanya, interestingly, no one believes them, especially the Babashar Hasidim. In the introduction, he writes that nothing here was my own Kiddush. Everything I wrote mitzvah sorim. This, why don't say they don't believe him? Because they believe that this was an act of genuine anivus mitzad Baal HaTanya, but that really he was a machadish. So which one was it? Was he a machadish or did he get it from others? The answer is both. Because the greatest kedushin come not in inventing things out of the clear blue sky. Someone once said there are 10 great ideas in the world, and all ideas come from those 10. 12, whatever it may be. But to take, first of all, everything that he said you can find some source for. But to take them and put them together in a structure that has its own sudden revelation of meaning, I mean, clearly this man was a genius of the first order. I've read something of the literature of the period on both sides of the divide, between Hasidim and Misnagdim. His richness of vocabulary and his conceptual wealth are almost unparalleled. He was really a giant, a goyin in Mashrava, let alone on Halacha. I'm going to read to you a small piece from the Maharal, which is in many ways a source book for the later development of Hasidus. Maharal is important for the later development of Chassidus, and also people do not realize, I think, adequately the Shalom HaKadosh, the Shnei Luch HaKadosh. But here is what the Maharal says, the Dovazeh Iyan Gradol Ma'od Shiyehav Esreyo Kamoso. Avol, Dovazeh Beshvil Shi Yisrael Heim Am Echod, Umitzadzeh Roi Shi Yisrael Kamo Odom Echod Legamri. Our love for each other derives from our primordial oneness. Kasher Ein Ha'avo L'Chavero Ki Ilu Hoya Ish Echod, Dovazeh Ki Ilu Lo Hoya Yisrael Am Echod. So the unity of Am Yisrael is the basis, the matrix for the belief in the Ahatul Reyachat Kamocha. Then he continues. V'lachein hasim gufam ikra v'nafsham tfeila I efshar liyos abba v'achva amitiz b'neyem ela hatliya b'dov olavad. If you raise the body above the soul, then your ahava is not genuine. It's not authentic. It's an ahava atliya b'dava. And that's what Hillel HaZaken said, the kiyam mitzvah zu, zel kola tora kulam edeh perusha hu zu gemar. Ki yisod v'shorash kola tora hu lan bi'o lahalot ha-nefesh ha-leguf ma'alamala, etc., etc. So the body is what causes individuation. Normally we say that, look, normally this is the reverse. Our normal tendency is to say, look, physically, we're all the same. When I was going to high school, someone calculated the chemicals in the human body as worth 98 cents. Today it's probably worth $200 to $300. But whatever it may be, we're all the same fundamentally, all the same biological material from the same protoplasm. And unfortunately, Perek was completely right. In the end, it's Vima the Soleia. And therefore, physically, we're all like, spiritually, we're all different mental attitudes. He does it the reverse. He says that physically, we are individuated. We're separate. But spiritually, we are one. It goes back not only to the Maharal, it also goes back to the Zohar. The Zohar holds that, and the Zohar has it to describe the Shekhinah. What are the synonyms of the Shekhinah? Anyone know? Which sphere is Shekhinah? Malchus, the lowest one. When the entire spherotic structure coming to the Or Ein Sof, and the spherot are the way God in His infinitude turns outward. This is revelation in another way. It turns out to both to create and to address itself to people. It all comes through a certain channel and ends up in Malchus. Malchus is called Shekhinah. It is also called Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael. Because that means, again, it tells you not only about the way divinity comes to the world, it also tells you about the oneness of Am Yisrael. It is a reflection of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here you have the same idea coming through Kabbalah to the Maharal, to the Baal HaTanya. Now, skip a little bit, or to the bottom of that page. Masha Kosu, so the first thing we learn from the Baal HaTanya is that the mitzvah of Yehata Reyes HaSamocha is based upon the concept of the spiritual unity of Am Yisrael. Then the Mishnah Gemara, Shemisha Roh B'Chavera Shechota Mitzvah Lechanos V'Gamol L'Abba Shiesneu, Hainu B'Chavera B'Torah Mitzvah Sefakiyam B'Mitzvah Selchiyach Selchiyach, which we said before, Im She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvah, the Alpha became low shall be cut, then you're allowed to do it. Avami Shain Khadeno Khabero, the Ainum Bakura Veslo. Hini Alze Omar Hilola Zokan Evami Tamida Shalan or Shulam, etc. Said on the Lababach follow that to this day. Lomash Afala Hokimi Torah Shem Bavadaso, Lohain Nikron Bishem Brios the Alma, Solochamashkam Bakadus Avosa Sahava Bakula Hai, Uva Yukal. Oh, you've gone through this. In other words, the plea that in nowadays the Hapu Alecha Kamocha means outreach. And the mitzvah sinna, for those who are not observant, simply doesn't apply to them whatsoever. Then he says, Vagam Hamad, pardon? Well, Vagam Hamad, may love, where do you see that? One second. No. That is, he's not. He gave up his right now, but he did one mitzvah that he failed. If I see you, let's say for 5 minutes during the day, not being mahara and dibrei Torah, I'm allowed to be mafia to you. See, but that never occurred to us.
No.
Even when you find someone for whom it's a mitzvah to hate him because he's a rasha, that's why he is a mukach, right? He is worthy of accepting tachacha. And let's say we pass like the Rambam, and it's a mitzvah that's a noso, mitzvah la'avam gankein. Ushtein hate emes. Siddha mitzvah da rasha ben, the avam mitzvah b'china satov adonish ben. What do we call this in psychology? Ambivalence. This is ambivalence. You can love and hate at the same time. It's a love-hate relationship. How does it break down? You love the person, you hate what he does. But you still chayev to love him. Now, this is the Tanya's way of doing it. Well, let me ask you another question. The mitzvah of Yehapa L'Reicha Kamocha. What kind of mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah ma'asis or is it a mitzvah of the emotions? Yeah. Any sources? Any sources? That's the brain, but I'm talking about what is, no, but have, it doesn't tell me how you, I mean, if I'm required to love my Reya as myself, tell me, do I have to love you? Should I love you? Well, that's cutting it fine. Oh! So the answer is the Ramban and Ramban. The Ramban says it's a functional mitzvah. You have to do things. In other words, the Ramban says you have to do things for him as if you did it for yourself. You have to take care of his business the way you take care of your own. You have to take care of his family if they need it, as you would for yourself. And you mustn't speak ill against him as you wouldn't speak ill against yourself. But he doesn't say anything about your emotional attitude. In other words, the Ramban would translate, not thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but thou shalt act lovingly towards thy neighbor. You should act as if you love. Whether you love him or not is an emotional thing. You can't command love. You have teenage sons or daughters. You'll know that you can't command love. You can't say, love this boy. You can say, go out with him, get married to him. You can't say, love him. So in the same problem arises with regard to Avas Hashem. So Avas, and for the Ramban, Yehapa Recha Kamocha is an actional mitzvah. For the Rambam, it's an emotional mitzvah. You really have to love it. So for the Rambam, it can be shown that the Rambam will hold that you can love and hate at the same time, even if both are on the emotional levels, which is a more sophisticated kind of ambivalence. Because for the Tanya, the love is on the emotional level, on the personal level, and the hate is on the actual, not the actual, but hating the vicious in him. Whereas for the Rambam, both apply to the same person at the very same time. Because that is the nature of human beings, that you can really do both at the same time. As a matter of fact, very often, perhaps more often than not, the ambivalence shows up in one way or another.
How do you think the Rambam would accept this rather? The Tanya here seems to deny that there is a personality in the world who's called a Russia, and that this Russia has a completely, like, the difference between a cow and a chicken. This creature called Russia has one set of halachos, and this creature called Re'acha has another set of halachos. The Tanya has slipped out of that noose, and it's as if he's shrinking a tumor called Rishus to something less and less significant in his...
No, if you read it before in the second column, he says that there is a mitzvah, lisno et sarasha, and he starts hedging it. It's only if there was no tachacha. If there was no tachacha, and he comes out, look, you do have a solitary case, and that is a rasha. I mean, I've met many such people, at least one person I know who's lom ashana, or pirish, and he does everything b'mezid, And I could find very few reasons why not to call him a Russia, unless I hold that the mitzvah of Chayachasir doesn't apply today. That's not the way that Tanya is operating. He's assuming there is a mitzvah of Chayachasir, right? And therefore there is such a Hashem. Now he says, granted that there is such a person, which is then, it can't be many because as he's narrowing the field. With that one person, you must love him and hate his actions. Hate the vicious of them.
That's a chiddush. The chiddush that we don't class, that once he has been, even if we've narrowed the category, that there is such, that once we have placed him in that new category, that narrow category that we've pared down, but that's the end of the line. To say that he's still entitled to Abba,
he is,
and he is both the Russia and the,
yes, he is.
Oh, that seems to be the, I mean, he writes it, that's a very great chiddush. To say that he hasn't forfeited his...
But I'm telling you, that I'm hints at the same thing, really. Even on the higher level. The Rambam says you have your chayef that Ava and Sinna for the same person, and he does not make the distinction, which incidentally, where is a similar makor to this in Shas? You all know it. Yitamul Chatoim Bruya. That's it. Yes. That's a classic case. Yitamul Chatoim Menorah. So she told that Meir, Yitamul Chotim Lo Ne'amar, Yitamul Chatoim Ne'amar. So that's
Chotim in Russian.
I know that. But it's the same concept. You hate not the sinner, but the sin. You hate not the person, but the dishes in the person. So therefore it's possible to have, it is a chiddush, but it's not that much of a chiddush. And the Rambam, I'm trying to say that Rambam, if indeed, and it's a whole other shmuz that goes into the Sugim Bava Metzia that they have, about the inner Aprika. But the Rambam can tell you that you have a mitzvah to love him and to hate him, without making the distinction, love him, hate his vicious. But both being directed at the same person. Of Ava and Sinna.
Because the model is that here it seems to be a homo, specifically against expository purposes. So the model kind of says that the mitzvah really only becomes actionable and kicks in if the person is kibbutz incompetent. In other words, if he's not
actually
a potential that may be receptive. Otherwise, the rest of the people don't fall into the
same group.
It's a chomer for a Yerushalayim.
That's right. It's the disadvantage of a Yerushalayim.
This is
the
entire
beyond the small and small hub of the same thing. Well, but that, yeah, that's, that the small is a technique. It's a technique. It's a very, very good technique. Here, what we're talking about is, you know, your fundamental human relationship with a person. And not more than a technique. In the same style, but it's more than a technique. Good.
The demand is such that, again, we have to overlook, perhaps, the time, but cherish the person.
Possibly. Otherwise, the Mezek Cloud doubled the Torah because it's such a difficult one. Also, because really it underlies all Mitzvah Shabbat Amor Chavero. Underlying all Mitzvah Shabbat Amor Chavero is you have to let it come off in the same way that you have to Sashem Alakech underlies all Mitzvah Shabbat Adam Lamakam. So that's why it's a Kval Gado the Torah. Next piece I want to study with you is the grandson-in-law of the Bala Tanya, the Tzemach Tzedek. And here we're going to go in to the psychology of love, even for our Russia. And this is a beautiful piece, as I don't have, we're not going to read the whole thing, but at least a good part of the first page. Let's start with the third or fourth line. The end of the third line of the beginning. Do you have it? It says as follows. This is a great question of why Hillel formulated V'yakul Recha Kamocha negatively. Everyone has written about it, from Achad Am up or down, whichever way you want to call it. It should have been direct, the way Samei Unklis does it. Why didn't Hillel do it the same way? And here he comes to what is a very interesting psychological point. Just as a person doesn't find guilt, doesn't find a chol for himself, ain't had perish. Any day a klal chovosav. Doesn't mean that a person does know that he did wrong. You know, we all know our weaknesses. Adarava. Yuchal liros of a heaven heitev ankus b'chisuso yosem idiyaz v'vaso alav. I know my own failings and my own unworthiness more than anybody knows it. Shaharei zulvaso en aroa elolayinayim, because all you can see is what your eyes can see. But you don't know the real me. Is this being quoted? V'hu yir alalevav. I can see my own heart. I know what's going on within me, and that you can see. So I certainly know my own moral or religious weakness. Ella, hakavanosh ein hachov tufis mokam es v'kval v'hispal mizeh. It's just I don't get so excited about my failures. Ki'ilu ein ro el v'kval. As if I don't see it. Why? Mifnei ha'ahava ha'gdol asher o'eva o'odis asmo. Al kol p'shav she'yodeya b'dato v'chasa ava b'kinis machi. Because I know all those things about myself that I'm aware of, that are so painful, nevertheless, I love myself. And this is meant my ordinary self-love. So I excuse myself, as if it's bechinas makis, as if my ahava surrounds it, like an amoeba surrounding food, you know, it just surrounds it and covers it up and you can't see it anymore. So my self-love covers up my chovos, my failures. Therefore, I don't get excited about my failures. They might hurt me, but my ahava makes me, it puts it in a different light. It puts it, it does, it's not so good fella because, look, I'm a good guy after all. And the Baruch Shalom knows that I have a good heart, and I mean well, and I was sorry for what I did. All kinds of excuses. The excuses come because of ahava atzmis. So my ahava covers up on my pesharim, on my chovos.
But
when someone else sees my failure, the other knows so, and understands where I went wrong, I get very upset. Even though I know in my heart that he really is on target. I'm upset with you when you point out my failures, not because you're wrong, not because you're lying. You're right. What then am I angry at? Because you do not have the love for me that I have for me, which allows me to minimize the impact of those failings and to see them in a much smaller proportion than an outsider does. I would want you to react to my faults the way I react to my faults, acknowledging them, but seeing them as rather petty, because I love myself and I excuse myself as a result. But if you love me, it would cover it up. But when you point out my faults, you are magale, you reveal my faults, but you're machase. What are you, Mechaza? The Ahava. You cover up the Ahava. That's just the reverse of what I'm doing. Now, therefore, he says a few lines later, V'zehu ma'adasoni loch. That's my ma'adasoni loch. L'chavre klosav. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friends. What is hateful to you, namely, the revealing, the exposure of my weaknesses. L'chavre klosav. Don't expose his sha'im. Elamai. What then? The Ahava should cover it up. Heim b'mili de'alma b'dvarashim b'dambu l'chaveno v'heim b'mili d'shmaya v'yesh d'ara, etc., etc. And then he goes on is a somewhat Kabbalistic idea. Let's go. I don't want to carry on too much tonight. And then about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines to the top. V'zeh she'kosev Hillel v'idei efadushahu she'kol ha'mitzvot heim li'achid kutshabrichu v'shchintei hi'yadua v'ra'ikah ha'yikad adam d'la'ilah v'shchinta nikra shufti yach. What he says basically is now elaborating on what the Tanya said, namely that the unity of Am Yisrael is a reflection of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mary of Chad Bachad. Anyone here says Kegavna every Friday night? Are you Kegavna? Do? It might be all your thing. Fun? Oh, I thought because the Quebecois are more smart than the Ashkenaz in a sense. I do too, that's but there you speak about the Shabbos being the time of Yichud, the time of Shkinte, that the Shkina and the Kodesh Baruch Hu unite, and therefore it's Chad Bachad. Kegavna of Hochi Iyu is Yachna, just as we unite, just as the Rabban Shalom unites together, we have unity, and the Yichud, one Yichud reflects another Yichud. Similarly, when you have the Ahavas Reyim, the Apple Reyecha Kamocha, you formulate it negatively, and this Ahava, which covers up the Pesharim, which you must have when evaluating your friend, even as you do for yourself, this Ahava comes because it acts as a cement, the glue, which keeps Am Yisrael together. Because in that sense, love conquers all. Now, apply this to our contemporary state of affairs. Applying this the way I apply it is that in a dialogue between us and the rest of the Jewish community, the non-religious, the non-Orthodox Jewish community, however you want to hear it's non-Orthodox, there it's non-religious, is not to deny the shortcomings. We've got to battle it out on many things. But the battle has to be a battle mitoch ahava. It's not a battle. It has to be a dialogue. Not with insult, because we don't hate them. On the contrary. We're mechuyev to love them. We're mechuyev to love them more than we're mechuyev to love our own people who failed, according to the Tanya. And we have to take the advice of the Tzemach Tzedek, which we just read. Namely, not to deny the chovos, not to deny what's wrong, but to have a love be makifet. Now, you know, if I interlocutors fault, pointing them out, arguing them, but only in the context of that.
That's the way you deal with your own fault.
The way you deal with your own fault, precisely.
That's the even more poignant by comparing not evaluate not merely rigid intolerance to a more tolerant attitude, but in terms of identifying the phenomenology of tolerance, tolerance has to be based on a sense of commonality. It assumes inward condescension, the implication of a two-tier universe where the haves preach to the have-nots. This entire system is very sound. This Ava, which has the power to be a concept, Shoyim is only available to someone who realizes the interplay between his own shortcomings and his own self-love. And someone who has lost a sense of his own these seeds of depravity should automatically...
Yeah, quite right. That is exactly what the Tzedek is saying. I'm saying, I'm just carrying it out from there. That my attitude of my ahava for you minimizing your pshar. I recognize the pshar, but I'm not going to let that recognition disturb our friendship. Only comes because I must do the same thing for myself. Recognizing them, but I cover up on my own because I love myself, I must do the same to you. So you're right. There must be a recognition. Look, you may be in Machal Shabbos, but I have some whopping faults of my own that no one knows about, but I know about them. And therefore, I cannot condescend to anyone else. This will come up, yeah.
It doesn't get confused with the Christological terms of the implications. I mean, the hospital is basically somehow the moral imperative is not compromised of evil and the fact that one has to fight and reject that.
No, don't forget that that the Tanya had said clearly that while you have a mitzvah of ahava for the Rasha, you have a mitzvah of sinah for the Rishus. So So that remains. Look, I reject the idea that that a legitimate way of celebrating Rosh Hashanah is by going to the beach and television. I reject it. I think it's a pretty terrible way to observe a holiday. And I have to say it. But it doesn't mean I can't embrace you. It doesn't mean that I think less of you. It also doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Because I have my own set of averis, you know. And that I'm not Mepharsim thing, but which I in my own heart know that they are there. And just as I don't hate myself, although all of us think that this is another, I don't want to go into it, but there is such a thing, there is a shita in Shas. Well, what does Ben Zalman say that Paul goes to the Koranah? You have to let her come over. Why not you have to let her come over? Shema Tomar, just as I don't love myself, I don't love my friend. So there, in other words, they have to make up for the fact that there are some people who genuinely detest themselves. Yeah? And I can understand it. I mean, sometimes we go far enough and we feel that. But let's bracket that for a while. Let's assume that we are, quote, normal, end quote, people. That we love ourselves. Then this would hold true that we have to have the same attitude to them. Nothing Christological about that. Reminds me of the young woman who came home from college for the first time, you know, and said, Dad, why can't we be like the Christians? She said, what do you mean? She said, they have a mitzvah, they have a commandment, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Why can't we have that? No, so we sort of sold love to the goyim. I'm not willing to give it to them. Yeah, that's right. What happened with them is they went overboard. Incidentally, many years ago, I read in a little journal which was, I don't think it's published anymore, the Crane Review. It is a since I was the editor of Tradition, I used to send Tradition to the editors of other journals, and they would send me, that was the only perk I got out of the whole thing, with all the Edmund Sefish. So I used to read a lot of these small little journals. Well, Tradition isn't that big a journal, too. But this one was by Episcopalians. And I read an article, which I never forgot, by Gordon Alpert. Any of you recognize the name? Great psychologist. He has an article in which he says, why is it, he has a question, why is it that by and large throughout history, Christians have been bloodthirsty, and Jews have not been bloody people up until today. I mean, but even today, let's not fool ourselves. You know, the Yeshidim, it's not, as a people, but after all is said and done, let's not savage ourselves too much. I mean, all of Israel, everyone in Israel carries a gun. How many murders are there in Israel? But it's, we still have a pretty good record. So he says, why is it? He says, not only that, but my kasha is stronger. Christianity is a religion of love. And Judaism is a religion of vengeance. Kabiyoko. And he says, how did the brisk answer a kasha? Oh, does he thus? He says, the Christians have invested so much of their religious energy in preaching love that when it came to living it, they didn't have very much left. The Jews had so much invested in vengeance, kill the conversation, and you have to know, and our Mochai Timcha Zeichan Amolik, which is no longer here, we put in so much passion into Lachin Zeichan, and all these things, therefore when it came to real life, we had gotten rid of the hatred already, and catharsis took place, and that's why we could be gentle people. And so, the love bit is, the rhetoric was high, and the Christian, yeah. Where? Sure, he talks about this.
No, that's
all
it's
not good.
He said, at the end,
however. Oh, Mitzvah HaRasha, then. Okay, fine.
All right.
these he does not include in the fact that you have problems.
Okay, now, but the only question is you're correct. I didn't get there because I'm going to come to that a little bit later, possibly. And the question then is, does the halacha of minim and apikarsim, does it apply to everyone today who's not a man? And that I don't know. I know. The whole of the Gemara is chelik. The whole of the Torah is chelik. The whole of the Okay. Well, that's a
paragraph.
And you know, if you ask that Rambam is a man who denies the existence of one God, is he a chote or a rosha? He would say, Gam Mizel, Mizel, Tarakilka. I mean, the Rambam happens to be the big machmir when it comes to deus. When it comes to entertaining heretical ideas, he's the biggest machmir of all, in the Meiri too. The only question is, does it apply today in the current context? I would say that, by and large, it does apply in some cases. As I mentioned, there's one person I know. A person with Shana appeared as she knows exactly what he's doing. For most people today, the halacha that Rambam applies to the Kadoim would apply. Minag HaVaseim B'yadayim. Minag HaVaseim B'yadayim. And Akuk maintains the Gemara says that in many cases a man who is over Arayas with a Shifcha is kosher le'edis. He is over Arayas. How can you say it's kosher le'edis? Because Yisrael Tzokho. He was earnest. So she seduced him. She seduced him. And that seduction, led him to do the Avera because he couldn't control himself. He was overwhelmed. He says the same way that one can be overwhelmed by sexual desire, so one can be overwhelmed by apikourisis in the air around him. The atmosphere is charged intellectually with heresy. Under such conditions, we find it hard to blame a person for having certain opinions. Indeed, anyone of us who's done outreach work with intelligent, non-religious Jews knows that they are intelligent, they're moral, but they reflect the general intellectual climate, as all of us reflect the climate of our own little chevra. And therefore, when you bring to them the idea of Yahadut and try to explain it to them, they frequently change. So you see, by the Chatzchila, you didn't have the right to hate them, the sinner, because they weren't Rishon. Okay. Let me now go in almost in the same way. The next piece is the one from Rav Kook, not the Ola to the Ear, but the one that's entitled Hanefesh of Hoshe Yisrael. Some of you who may have, all of you, I don't know if you have my hefta that I gave on Rabin earlier past week. I really quoted something that I could quote. He's a very interesting letter. He writes to a critic. I don't get involved with such problems. There are certain problems you can solve, as opposed to some contemporary development who have the answers to all problems. We don't know whom the Rabbanu Shalom has appointed as his shliach. And sometimes a man who seems least likely to be a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a shliach, whether he knows it or not. Herzl, I'm sure, did not believe that he was a shliach. Did not know he was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But God chooses whom he wants. And sometimes we, who are saintly and pious and without sin, do not become appointed, and someone who is so far lesser than us, and whoever is listening to this over the tape, please understand that my tone is sarcastic. are appointed to be God's leader. And he goes on to the next paragraph. You were so surprised, so amazed or astounded at what you heard in my name. What he's saying is this. He says, the report you got was correct. I maintain that someone who is a decent individual, who serves the public, who helps them be in Eretz Israel, but he's a Makal Shabbos of Ahesia, has a greater nefesh than those who are Yereim Mishleimim, but don't do a darn thing for Eretz Israel. He says, but the latter, those who are Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs, have a greater Ruach. Now, to understand what happens, you must understand, of course, and I'm sure you do, that in a great part of our heritage, the psychology of the soul results in a tripartite, in a threefold level. Sometimes five, but three. I mean, the rationalists have the vegetative and the animal and the intellectual, but in Kabbalah, the three levels of the soul are nefesh, as the lowest level, then ruach, then neshama. Then there are the two other levels beyond that, yechida and neshmata. But the three major things are nefesh, ruach, and neshama. What are they? Nefesh is the lowest level of soul fullness or a spirit. It's the most universal. It is human-centered. It's anthropocentric. The ruach is that which lifts you above the nefesh. In many definitions, it is the intellectual aspect. And the highest level is neshama. Nefesh is completely within a person. Ruach is what reaches outward, and neshama is beyond the person. So the highest level is naran, nefesh, ruach, neshama. The greatest achievement of a human being is in his journey upon this planet to achieve nefesh, ruach, neshama. But not everyone is rosh and neshama. I mean, it may be there, but I may not be able to attain my linkage with that. That is what links me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the neshama links me with the Kaddish Baruch. So let's talk about the two lower ones now. So he says, when Rakuk says, yes, indeed, I said that someone who is a good Zionist, to put it bluntly in the context he is writing, but not frum, has a greater nefesh than the frum who are not Zionists. But the frum who are not Zionists have a greater ruach than the Zionists who are not frum. He says, I did not invent this idea. He says, the Makor Hadvarim and Divrei Abchaim Bitalzal, the Shah of Gugulim, the Shah of Gugulim, Zion Advan Nashra Shel Achav. Achav Afor was a great Russia. And yet Chazal, speak well of him in some cases. Shel Amrod Kol Mashenem Abol the Greyusa. Amru Chazal Shel Shokul Hayah Mitzad Shehu Mitzad Bechinas HaNefesh. He was Shokul. What does Shokul mean? He had an equal number of Mitzvahs and Averis. What's astounding is that for the Baal HaTanya, this is a tzaddik already, with your shokel. Because the Gemara says that Achav was shokel. Why? Because he had a nefesh. Because he was a Melech Yisrael, and it's the same piece of Gemara which says that Omri was mentioned as in Tanakh as a chus. Why? Because chus is kach echad b'Yisrael. He added one kach. Listen. He says the people, he was his contemporary Zionists, added more than one class. They were building Yafo, then they were building Tel Aviv, they were building, upbuilding Haifa. So, when he says, my Makar is the Kabbalah Sa'ari. The kind of Talmud of the idea Kodesh. And if they could say it about Achav, I certainly could say it about our contemporary people. Kama Shem Begleza, Kal Kalei Ashok, Mekla Begleza Nefesh. Ayin Shem, Shiyesham, Sadikim, Gedorim, Shem, Ikom Makom. In the next page, That the normal bent or attraction to Avat Yisrael, zel b'chinas and nefesh mileida, that comes from the nefesh, as explained in the Zohar. So b'chinas nefesh nitna mileida, that is a natural property of the human being. Zak zache yarvan leiducha, only have a special skrus as he gets dua. Zaki yosi, if you have more skrus, yarvan lein nishmosa, you get a neshama. The nincha, shegaaguim tiviim ledavar tov v'kadosh, the normal yearning, striving for doing what is right and good and holy. If the Zionist builds up that Israel, he has no concept of Kedusha. The category doesn't exist in his mind. But effectively and functionally, he is upbuilding Eretz Israel. If you don't do it, then you have a chisurim in your nefesh. Next part, I'm Allah Shemdes, and this is he bar yedekinus kolam alas b'chinas naran. The greatest perfection, of course, is to add all. Nefesh, ruach, v'shama. Ba'al ze'an, and it's following, and it's tapping, ba'al yedeh his achtus ha'kval kulo. Notice again the idea of achtus tangen. To the achtus of all, this girl, the chiva shema, So what is our cook telling us? That when we have a dialogue, or as is emerging more than a dialogue, but a very powerful confrontation with a non-religious Jewish world, we've got to remember not to overlook the chusim that they may have greater than we have in some cases. Some cases not. In addition to being, questioning our own, how much of a ruach we have, they possibly have less. But when it comes to nefesh, the same fellow who drives to shul three days a year, doesn't know what it's all about, but spends every night calling up for UJA, he has a great nefesh. Perhaps greater than many of us. Although we may have a greater ruach. So, there's nothing, no reason to look down upon him, just because he has less of one, since we may have less of the other. I mean, there's a mutual recognition here that is required in order to fulfill the dialogue. And again, very solid Mekoros for it. This is not something that we made up. It comes from the Kabbalah study himself. Let me finally go on to one last piece, which I assume you, if you haven't read it, it's quite easy, much less difficult than this Kabbalistic stuff. And that is, this comes from the Ola to the ER, which is about Cook's commentary on the Siddur. And here I'm coming to the disputes or differences of opinion, not between us and the non-religious world, but between us and ourselves. And here, just the reverse. Here that our Cook says something that's very, very sensible and subtle. And that is, he comes out in favor of what I would call pluralism, orthodox pluralism. And he says that having differences of opinion is a very good thing. And this he comments on Umrad Lazam Rabbechanina, Tamidei Chachamim, Rabin Shalom Ba'olam. You know the great story about this. He's a German professor, spent 5 years researching humor in the Talmud. He came across only one joke, and that was Tamidei Chachamim. But nevertheless, the Chazal say, look at that cook. Third line, Yesh Toim, people make mistake when they think Shah Sholom Alami, Loi Banak, Hima Yede Sivyon Efer Bedeus, that universal peace can only take place on the basis of unanimous opinion. Then came Kishoim Tabidika Khamin, Kokim Bachma Badas Torah. He sees Talmidei Chachamim who are arguing, and he gets upset because they have different opinions. And people complain to me, Rabbis always have different, you never get the same answer from two rabbis. I say, maybe you're right, the five doctors. You'll have two doctors with either three opinions. But then people get upset when they say Talmidei Chachamim have different opinions. And the more they learn, the more they come up with different shitos, They think this causes machlokas, and this is deleterious to any efforts for peace. It has to be dakka to many a thing. Adibui shall shalom who? What is adibui? The multiplication of shalom. She is the ukol hatsodim kolashitas. That all opinions have to be expressed. Yizbaru ekulam yeshahem muslim. Kol ekodafiyako, the elkom mekomo, the inyano. Don't imagine that for every question there is only one answer, a right answer and a wrong answer. There is a plurality of answers. I must tell you the same holds true. There's an analog in contemporary physics, or even a chemical equation, where, let's say, if I throw up this glass, what's going to happen? It'll come down again, right? But then it's going to come down again because the chances of it not coming down is an arrow and a zero. It approaches zero, but it's not zero. It is possible mathematically that all the gas molecules of the air underneath it should all happen to be going up at the same time. Possible. So that, of course, that's a very unusual circumstance. But on many other things, there is a plurality of things that can happen. Some are more likely, some are less likely, and you can assign numbers to them. But nowhere do we find there's only one single answer. On Regent's exam, there's only one answer. But in real science, there is always a plurality of answers. What the Kirk is saying is that in the realm of Deos, many answers can be given. Each one has its place depending on time, theme, and place. The other of them. Gam enyanim hadirin kum yisgadim et kusosrim. Yiru kishim yero kishim izgala amita sachaf al chosu da sherak hayadei kibot kol hachalakim hachal hachalakim. V'chol haderes anir ha-shonu. V'chol ha-mikzaot hachalukim. Daska al yadam yero'eh or ha-emes ha-tzedek. The ultimate truth will be built on many opinions, not only on a single opinion. Alkein tamidei chachamim mardim shalom, ki ma shehem marchivim u'mevarim u'meyaldim divrei chachma chadashim, v'ponim v'ponim chadshonim, sheyesh bahem ribui v'chilukei inyanim, v'zehem mardim shalom, shenama b'chol k'marayich l'ludei Hashem, ki kulam yakiru, shekulam kam ha'afochim b'darcheyem shitufeyem k'fi yamira. All of them, no matter how inconsistent they may appear, heima kulam l'mudei Hashem, ובכל אחת מהן יש שעת שתסגור ידי ירס אשר מעמיתו. ורב שלום בנייך, לא, look what he says, לא אמר גדול שלום בנייך. Doesn't say the peace of your children or of your family at home is great. Not the peace is great, שיאמר על ציור גוף אחד גדול, but the two lines later, כי ירד עצרך לתת את הכל סודם לכל הפנה שלו עולה שיש פה, אבל הריבוי הוא רב שלום בנייך. Many is the peace of your children. He says in the words themselves, he finds an allusion to the fact that many opinions, even many of which are mutually contradictory, together create the shalom that Talmidei Chachamim bring to the world. So it is not that Talmidei Chachamim bring shalom to the world because they all agree. They bring shalom to the world because they all disagree. And as long as the disagreement is authentic and genuine, and obviously mitzvah ahava, therefore, together, all of it merges ultimately into one achdus. Very good. He says, why say bonayach? Because when you build, you don't have one stone, you don't have one brick, you don't have one wall, you have a plurality of things. You have some stucco, and some stone, and some wood, and some electricity, and some lead pipe. You have a combination of different things, till together all these various things, if they are put in their appropriate place, create the binyan you're interested in. And just to skip over in the next column in the middle, Ramana Chai Vadayai, Shadapuram Yem, Makom Lavada, Avada Secha, Avada Sintia, Varegesh, Adavara Sholom Bach, Amar Tav Shalis Achtas, Abami Kibbutz, Chachosu Deyat Zerat, Aman Beis Hashem Olatenu, Atachlis Hanitzis, and the Kudash, Kulam of Zimba Abura, Abaksha Tovlach, etc., etc. And the end, Uvichas HaShalom, Abba in Ha'oz, who he HaShalom, Shalit Akhtus Kol HaPochim, the unification of all the opposites. Incidentally, this is a theme that goes through all his writings in the Oros HaTshuva, and all his writings. Professor Nathan Rotenstrack referred to this as harmonism. See, that Cook was a great, his great theme is unity. But it's not unity, stamp-pushed. It's the unity that underlies diversity. And not only that underlies diversity, but the unity cannot be achieved without diversity. Because it is the unification of the diverse which is so precious. That is the kind of unification that the Kabbalah speaks of. When the Kabbalah speaks of the Yichud of Kutcha Brichu Eshvinte, Kutcha Brichu means the top spheres, and Shvinte means Malchus. The Malchus, with all the others coming into Yisod, are separate. And it is only by unifying them. For merely to say God is one is a simple statement. For Kabbalah, God is one means we have to unify God. God, of course, the Ein Sof is one. We have to bring back unity into the spheres. And that can only be done by bringing unity into our own Neshamas and unity in Kol Yisrael, because one Chad L'Kaveh Chad, one as opposed to the other, so that Shalom is attained by Rav Shalom Banayah, not by Godol Shalom Banayah. So, please. I think our book says that even atheism has its place. It's a very bold statement. But in its manner of speaking, the Balei Musa also alluded to this. And they said, Amunah Bitachon is a very important mitzvah. When a poor man comes, stop having Bitachon that God will take care of him. And act as if there's no one to take care of him except for you. Of course, it's the ethical version of what Cook is saying, but yes, everything has a place. Yes, but you know, as I said before, in any physical chemical reaction, there are some things which are highly likely and some things which approach zero. Some things approach zero. And some things are much more internal. I mean, atheism, when Cook says atheism has a place, he means that there are times that you have to act as if there is no God and everything depends upon you. But again, I'm telling you, this is not an unusual statement if you put the ethical twist on it, or the Saul Philanto, or the Vatali Rakshasi used to say that a man has to have two pockets. One of them is, one of one pocket he has Bishvili Nivra Olam, the other pocket he has Anofi Alfa Ve'efa. I mean, it depends, again, if I'm called upon to do something for somebody else, I have to act as if I'm the only one who can do it. If I have to take care of myself, I have to be talking about others well. What I'm trying to say is that it doesn't mean that all, he is not by any means, the kind of pluralist who ends up in relativism. There are such people. Pluralism means, you know, you're good, I'm good, or I'm okay, you're okay. Yeah, you believe in this, I'm there, I'm okay, you're okay. That's silly. It's vulgar. This kind of relativism is vulgar. He doesn't mean that all ideas are of equal merit. He says each idea has its place. Some have the Mizrachvan, and some have some place in the cellar. But every idea has its place. So, I would say the important thing is to keep in mind the ultimate goal, that there should be Shalom. So it means, again, that the differences of opinion, what did someone say? Chilukei Deis was not Machlokes. So it has to be done in a way that will be conducted in Shalom. Well, even that abstract in, but that is the way. So, except I didn't want to use that statement because it's been so abused by those ethical relativists whom I spoke about.
Ideology of elegance, great from the
Where we stand, our position is always vulnerable. To me, that vulnerability is a sign of authenticity. But to me, that this is thought out as she said, and we're going to go ahead with it. Our only problem is that we tend to lose courage very quickly. And I'm telling you, Rabotei, that we must not do. Never lose courage. Because if you really believe in it, you believe in it no matter what's going to happen, and you try to take a longer view, I am completely confident in the ultimate prevailing of our Shita. But let me speak about the Tach Kassar. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of problems. The left are not Malachim by any means. They're going to pull out all the stops, I suspect, in trying to delegitimize not only Orthodoxy, the Haredim, they did away with a long time ago. They don't care about the Haredim because they're just separate. They're going to attack now what we stand for. And there's going to be, I have no doubt, a heavy dose of McCarthyism. That all of us are going to be told that we are assassins. Or at least we helped assassinate Rabin. And the way to approach that, it seems to me, in Yiddish as an expression, the best of Schwindel is an honest. To be truthful. To be truthful means to say, yes, we in the modern or centrist Orthodox community have not been aggressive enough in putting a stop to this utter nonsense, this cruel, vulgar, wild primitivism that seems to have gripped the part of our community. We certainly didn't aid and abet it. Perhaps we should have been stronger in stopping it. That's number one. Number two, it doesn't mean everyone else is guilty. Rabin was not the first prime minister who was called a Nazi. The first prime minister who was called a Nazi was a man called Menachem Begin. And he was called a baby killer. And people stayed out his window and say, Begin, how many babies did you kill today? When his wife was in the hospital. I mean, they were not exactly milquetoast and wimps. So, you know, if the sledding gets rough, you've got to say that very gently, but you've got to say, look, fellas, no one is without blame. And quoting another scripture, that him who's without blame cast the first stone. I mean, that makes it more legitimate. Yeah. The brains are the same thing, too.
But the left has a theology that is compelled them to shoot them. And the right, or the religious right,
they have their own theology.
They don't have a theology.
To my mind, I don't know, more than ism. I mean, I firmly believe that Marxism is a theology. I mean, out of all the earmarks of the theology. But it's irrelevant. Our theology does not support murder. And you have a few Mishigayim who are carried out, including a few of our Bonim and Ashishivis in Israel, and who knows exactly whose name Yoel Ben Nun is going to mention. Who then? I don't believe that. I can't believe it. I can't believe that.
But to dismiss it as simply that marginal is not a statement of your name alone, in an honest and complete way. This is an equivocation which we are going to plan for, to say that they are not pure and we are not pure.
No, I'm not saying the first thing I'm saying is to admit that we were not aggressive enough in opposing it. And that goes for mainstream. Which are not, you look at them, my son's family, they belong to a certain shul. And they were shocked at the number of people who were not upset. But when you start counting them, they're a minority. They're not most of the people there. Yeah, we did allow ourselves we were too tolerant. And we have learned, I hope we have learned, that to be tolerant of intolerance is to be intolerant. And to be intolerant of intolerance is to be tolerant. It's something that we have to, learn and learn well, and I think we've all learned it well at this point. The question is, I'm going to have the guts to carry it through. But clearly that is what we must do. I'm not saying that they are equally to blame. I'm saying for Rabin's murder. I'm saying they are equally guilty of raising the temperature of the rhetoric, and including Prime Minister Rabin Olav Hasholom himself, who wasn't exactly a wallflower when it came to answering, but he was a politician. That's the way he did it. I think there's less of an excuse for us, but more is expected of religious Jews, and more should be expected of religious Jews. And we have to say that openly. But it doesn't mean we can let them get off scot-free. This is not a black and white situation by any means. And I think the third thing we have to do is to make every effort to heal the wounds and to try to reach out to those to the left of us who still have a nefesh and say to them, exercise that nefesh and see to it that we don't become... what bothers me is the number of Israelis who speak about civil war. After a while, the rhetoric begets reality, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I plead with them, don't talk that way. Don't talk that way. Having differences of opinion or a big divide amongst the people is one thing. Civil war and Mohammed Achim is something far more tragic. We can reach out. There are sane people there. There are people there, not too long ago, what's the name of that foundation that Zalman Bernstein runs? Avichai. Avichai ran an interesting kind of survey in which it seems that the country is not divided amongst those who are Haredim on the one side and those who are Pokerim on the other side. But there's a shading, a spectrum, and most people are someplace in the middle. So we're not quite, we should not lose hope for the rest of Target's world by any means. And therefore, the attempt has to be again, al-kol tasha'im t'chas l'ahava, and try to apply some of the lessons we have from the people we've read today.
I have a very practical question. I don't know whether my experience is that of the other Haverim, and this has to do with goes back to what amounts to demonstration of our determination to clean our own house. Just speaking in my own shul, the scariest time is weekday Shabbos, the weekday Mincin Mai. Why? Because in general terms, we have a bifurcation in our communities that those who are most committed to Shmura Torah Mitzvos, meaning three times a day Tfilah B'Tzibur and Shiur Mendas Yom, b'chule b'chule, tend to be the least ideologically committed to our real philosophical position, the more universalist elements of our position, and those who are committed to our ideology which has failed to integrate into a diktuk the Shmiras Torah Mitzvos. That means that the guys who walk in, Shishi, Shavi, are more liberal, are more worldly, flawed when the rabbi takes a tough position on things like Torah terrorism coming out of Israel and other places. And the people who were there every morning, Shachris, have a much deeper level of anger and contempt and hatred, bordering on xenophobia, for all outsiders, for all who are not like us. In certain cases, I think almost rooted in the very text that we use as a source of Ahava, but note that the source of Ahava is always based on the idea that there is a one shared soul of Klal Yisrael and everyone else's other. So once you begin to diminish the question of who shares the single soul, you diminish the sense of the active Klal Yisrael, the commonality, it gets a little scary for us. What kind of Ahava?
The last point I don't get. On the contrary, the commonality of all Jewish souls should be a good argument for a more liberal point of view towards other Jews.
Except when the commonality of all Jewish souls has entrenched racism as a habit, which is saying that there is no real, that the love for other human beings is of a generically different variety.
Jonathan, you've touched something that's very important, and that is we have a lot of self-questioning to do about our whole educational system. We really have abandoned a universal element. We've told ourselves one shot. You know, very often we get slogans, and the slogan represents only one aspect of a reality. Am levodod yishkom. Am levodod yishkom was a description by Bilam of a fact. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a desideratum, because in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it wasn't Am Levodod Yishkon. He made alliances. David made alliances too. What do you mean Am Levodod Yishkon? Doesn't mean that's us against the whole world. We have allowed ourselves to be painted into a corner. And we have allowed ourselves to identify Bitochen and Amuna and Yerah Shemayim and Ahavat Hashem with a primitive us against them attitude. And I'm ashamed to say, I would never say it publicly, but we have more than our share of bigotry. More than our share of bigotry. I hear racial epithets much more amongst our Jews than I do amongst non-religious Jews. Yeah, that's a fact. It's a fact that every religious tradition has to be a little bit to find the same thing true amongst the players.
In the 12th century, has the expression "Keminag Hanotzim, Keminag Yehudim." We tend to imitate them, or sometimes I think there's just a spirit of the times that somehow grabs everyone. Right now, we're caught in a fundamentalist spirit. Fundamentalism has taken over throughout the whole world. But very often, you find that the goyim too have the same thing. People who are devoutly religious very often are the biggest bigots. Not always, but the same thing is true with us, is not always. But there are too often that it happens. And we have concentrated completely on halacha to the absence of agoda, which can broaden. We have concentrated too much on ben adam l'makom, too little on ben adam l'chavero. So we have two groups growing up, as you say correctly. One of them who have a broader universal understanding but are lax of shmitas and mitzvahs, and we've got to work on them very hard. Because to me, they're an embarrassment. There's certain geographical areas, which I shall not mention, almost are identified with so-called modern orthodoxy in a manner that annoys me no end. Because I don't want that, that's not my orthodoxy. On the other hand, many of the people who are Shomrei Mitzvah simply have to be enlightened. And they have to be told that the godless of Hayav Yadus consists of the fact that we have two missions. At Sinai, we were given two commissions. One was to be a Mamlechet Kohanim, and one was to be a Goy Kodesh. A Goy Kodesh Kedusha means Kedushim to you. We have to be separate and pay attention to our own spiritual development, our imminent development. We've got to be a Mamlechet Kohanim. And the Kohen means, as Yechezkel said, Ves'ami Yoru Ben Kodesh V'chol Ben Tomei V'Torah Yodim. We've got to be a priest teacheth to the people. You don't teach by turning your back on people. And that part has been forgotten. I tell them the same thing is true with Aleinu. Aleinu has two parts. The first part is Goy Kadosh, internal. The other part is Akenakava, it goes to the whole world, it's universal. Can't have one without the other. So one segment of our population we have to remind about Aleinu, and the other one we have to remind about Akenakava. But that becomes the bifurcated mission of Adam. And your people have to be treated, each one has to be custom made. To those who are more liberal, you have to remind them that there's such a thing as Yirat Shemayim and Dikta for Mitzvahs. And to those who are already coming to Daven regularly, you have to remind them that this is not, we were not meant to be a sect. Avraham Avinu was not told he's going to be the father of a sect or a cult. That we're meant to be a mishpacha of world kovetz zedolah zolam. And we're not going to do that if it's us against the whole world. So is it a difficult job? Sure, any teacher will tell you a homogeneous class is easier to teach than a heterogeneous class. But that's what we have to do.
How do we respond to the physical provocation on the other side? And that, by turning the other cheek.
What do you mean physical?
The ritual reports of the three
meetings. You fight it, you condemn it. What do you mean? I'm not saying you should lie down and tell you that.
The reaction of the so-called right to the physical meetings, as we have to respond.
Well,
see,
I know, but most of the people on the right who say that live in Brooklyn and New York, and they want someone else to fight the police without getting there. I mean, I'm gonna, what do they? No, in a democracy, every democracy has problems with police brutality, even in the United States, especially in California, and you fight it by exposing it, by suing them in court. I mean, you fight it by democratic means. You don't fight it by organizing a militia. No, and one never knows the extent to which it's widespread, the extent to which it happened once or twice, and it's magnified. I can't tell. I've heard about it too, obviously. Absolutely. Absolutely. That just exacerbates the situation. Just exacerbates it. So we've got a very tough road ahead of us, but you know, Kilakach, what did the Rabbi Yehuda Anossi say to the cow that was moaning? Kelakach no tzartha. We were created, and the Bala Tanya has someplace a very marvelous statement. He says, sometimes in the act of Avodas Hashem, you're torn. I wish I remember the exact quote. You're torn apart, and you have so many tzfekas, and you feel ripped apart, really. He says, look, but dealing with that is also Avodas Hashem. And Ulai, he says, the Ulai Lakach Neitzarta. So we live in a very difficult time, a time of great confusion, of great perplexity, when we're hemmed in on all sides. But you know, face it like a happy warrior. Ki Lakach Neitzarta, we've got a job to do, we're going to do the very best we can, we're not going to succumb to pessimism, and damn it, not going to succumb to self-pity. Every time someone comes to me and says, look, we're being beaten on all sides, so many people are turning black, and other people are becoming goyim, and what's going to be with us? So it's going to be what we're going to do is we're going to try hard, and we're going to fight, and no matter how many battles we're going to lose, we'll win the war. Because ultimately, we have to be convinced, as I am convinced, that this is the derech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to follow in this time and place of the world. He does not want us to become goyim, to assimilate, and he does not want us to become a sect that's closed off to the whole world. We are a historic religion. We are the historic religion of the world. We can't hide our faces. We can't just cover up like an ostrich. We've got to go out and face the world. And not only face people who are opposed to us, we've got to face our internal conflicts, and they can be very painful. But just as we cover up our faults with ahava, we have to have enough ahava for what we stand for to go ahead and, again, be the happy warriors. Do the job we have to do. Every victory we exult over, every defeat, just pick itself up and start all over again. So, Rabotai, good luck to all of us.
Gentlemen, are there, is there perhaps a minyan of Chavirim, we're having yet Davin Myers, if you came later, if you'd like to come forward, we'll make a minyan.
Just draw the situation of the first people that I can, that I daven with.
Yeah,
Lieberman
used to say that.
I can't daven.
All right, that's right. What then?
Rabbi Wagner.
Oh, Rabbi Wagner, sure. For a long time. Which one? Lipa's done. Oh, the one in April 12. Oh, sure. Hi, Lipa. I love Lipa.
What I said about this is there's no research mentioned.
No, but Sarada, so this is mentioned by the
Semitic. Not by the Semitic.